Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I tell you, you are going to be in for a treat on today with this teaching series called God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. This has been a day of enjoyment, a day of excitement, and I just pray that you have come to the broadcast ready, willing, and able to receive the richness of God's Word on this day. I tell you, it's just been an interesting week as we prepare for our broadcast, and I have a special guest with me today, and I just know you will enjoy him. So before I introduce my special guest that I have in studio today, I just want to thank you for being faithful to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. I just thank God for you. I thank God for His faithfulness and for your faithfulness in this ministry, listening week after week. And that just delights my soul. So I want to put a little something on your heart today. As we prepare for this series, for this lesson today, I want to just give you some food for thought. So think about it in this way. For those who have applied makeup on the face, have seen that it can be challenging from time to time. And most of us who are females, of course, may have worn makeup from time to time, regardless of how much, but still it can be a little challenging from time to time until you can get it perfectly applied, that it can be done with our eyes closed. That perfect color or perfect blend or brand does not mean it's applied on the first try perfectly. But God has a perfect, consistent, and divine makeup for man and the believer. Think about it. Man's makeup is of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. The body contains the soul, and the soul is the vessel that contains the spirit. So just marinate on that a little bit, and how applying makeup of some type, whether it be the face or whether it be your skin, whether it be hair color, we try to apply that type of makeup to where we can get it so perfected that we can do it with our eyes closed. But God, He has divine makeup. And without going into the lesson, I want to introduce my guest, Minister Harold Copeland, and he's going to take us on a fantastic journey through the pages of the Bible that will explain, unpack, and show us how God has applied His makeup. And I tell you, you will enjoy this lesson. So So, Minister Harold, if you could introduce yourself to the audience of this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, and just give us a little thumbnail sketch of yourself and let the audience know your love for Christ and how Christ met you. And we'll just be ready to receive what God has definitely going to do through you with this series. I tell you, God's divine makeup of the believer. So I'm thankful and grateful that you were so obedient to do this series, Brother Harold. And I just want the audience to come to know who you are. So if you could go ahead and just talk to us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, my brothers and my sisters. I am Minister Harold Copeland. I met Jesus Christ when I was in the Army. And if you know the Army war stories, they are not stories, they are true. And I didn't have salvation, and I didn't have direction. And God allowed me to see the bottom. And there was nothing at the bottom. But God is so loving that when I saw the bottom, the hit bottom, He didn't leave me there. He picked me up. And He began to do things in my life that I could not do on my own. Most importantly, He began to love on me. And I did not think that I was deserving of love. But He wouldn't stop. Even when I was at my lowest point and I didn't even like myself, He continues to love me unconditionally. And I finally got to the point because I realized that I wasn't worthy of it. But I heard Him say something about it's unconditional. And He wants to love me, and there's nothing that I can do to stop Him. Because He already made the way through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus, for me to receive that love. And just through the wisdom of the Spirit of God, in my messed up ways, I began to open my heart and let God do what He wanted to do to me. And He wanted to love me. And His love picked me up and gave me a strength that I didn't know that I had. And it's by His love today, the unconditional love of God, the agape, that I can fellowship with you all tonight on this song. And I just want you to know that it is an honor to be with you all tonight. And I count it a privilege to be used of God by His Holy Spirit. I thank God in advance because I know He's going to do it, releasing revelation knowledge in our hearts and our minds. I thank God that spiritual realities and spiritual truth will come forth tonight. Amen. And take us to that next level that God wants us to go. And I know that through the unity of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God, that God shall be glorified tonight, today. Amen. Let's dive right into the teaching. God's divine makeup for the believer. The triune believer. And we're going to start out with our launch pad scripture, which comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. Minister Smith, let us go there, please.
Sure. 1 Thessalonians 5. And it reads this way. We're going to start. I'm going to read verse 23. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, this scripture text is clearly saying that every born again believer is a triune being. And when we look at the word triune, it means a three-part being. Not two, not one, but a three-part being. The text is actually saying that the born-again believer is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a physical body. Now, this truth will be supported throughout this teaching by the Word of God. Let us build this truth, and then we will reference this truth with many, many scriptures throughout the teaching. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 23. We want to look at the first part of a believer, the first part of a born-again believer. And that's the spirit. And what the text is saying is, you are a spirit. Amen. And I say that again, it's you are a spirit, the first part of a born-again believer. Now, this scripture is not saying you have a spirit. It is clearly saying you are a spirit. The spirit is the very essence of who you are. You are a spirit created in the image, in the likeness of God. As Genesis chapter number 1, verses 26 through 28. Minister Smith, let us go there, please.
Genesis 1, and we're going to start at 26 and read through 28, and it reads this way. Then God said, "Let us make in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
Now, my brothers, my sisters, as we put on God's divine makeup, the triune believer, that's the first part of the makeup, the spirit, wonderfully created in the image, in the likeness of our Father. Now we want to take a look at the second part of the divine makeup. And that is the soul. Now, the soul you have a soul. You are not a soul. Back in the day, some of you all may be too young to know this, but there was a song that came out that called "I'm a Soul Man," and that song went to the top of the worldly charts, and it was highly liked. But that's not our song today. Amen. We are believers in Christ, and we don't operate out of our soul. You know, if I have to, I'll write a song for the church. Amen. And I call it, "I'm a Spirit Man, made in the image in the likeness of God." So we are not a soul. Just because we have a soul, that does not make us soul. Now, to have something don't make you that something. Think about it for a moment. You have a car. Do that make you a car? No. Just because you have a car, that does not make you a car. Now, God forbid, but if your car broke down, you will not break down, because that car is not you, and you are not that car. You will stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then you'll begin to do whatever it takes to get your car fixed. Or better yet, you will rejoice in your spirit, man, thanking God for the new car that he's about to give you. Hallelujah. So that song, "You're a soul man, I'm a soul man," don't apply to us. We are not a soul. We have a soul. And if something in your soul is not lined up with God, you will get into the Word of God and renew your mind with the Word of God. Minister Smith, I need you to read Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and verse 2. That's Romans, the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2.
Romans 12, 1 and 2, read this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen. So the soul has to be renewed so we can get it to line up with the spirit. So we are not a soul, and therefore we have a soul, and we are constantly trying to line that soul up to the real you, which is your spirit man. And we do that daily. And we do it through the reading of the Word of God. Amen. As we apply the divine makeup, amen, we put on that spirit man. We put on that soulless man. The spirit man is one. The soulless man is two. And the third part, we call the body. Amen. And just like we are not a soul and we have a soul, we are not a body either. We live in a body. Our spirit, your spirit, the real you, the real me, we live in a physical body. And just because we live in something, that does not make us that something we live in. Think about that. You live in a house. Do that make you a house? No. As you clearly seen in the scriptures, you are a spirit. You are a spirit. Put on that makeup. And the body you live in is just an earth suit to carry you while you are in the earth realm. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, you are not from this earth kingdom. You are from the kingdom of our living God, Abba Father. God sent you into the earth realm to make a difference and to bring His kingdom glory down here on earth. Now, because we are a spirit, the real us, the only way we can be effected in the earth realm, God had to give you an earth suit. And that earth suit looked just like the suit that the worldly people wear here in the earth. But this earth realm is not a home. You are a sojourner in this foreign land. You are a spirit having an earthly experience. Think about this. When the astronauts went to the moon, they entered to the moon, and it was as though they left the kingdom of the world and they just walked into a different kingdom. They left the realm of the world and they just walked right into a different realm. They went to the kingdom of the moon. They went to the realm of the moon. And that moon wasn't their home. That moon was a foreign land to them. Even to the point that they had to put on a suit, a moon suit, so they could be effective while they was on the moon. Now, they were not that moon suit that they wore. No. Still on the inside, they were still astronauts representing the United States of America on the moon and wearing their moon suit. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, likewise, you are an ambassador for God, an ambassador from God's kingdom. You are representing Jesus Christ in the earth. In your earth suit, which is called your body. My brothers, my sisters, the real you is your spirit. And you have a soul. And you live in a physical body. And that body is your earth suit. Now, if you have any problems with your body, and which we do, while you are down here on earth, just remember what Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2 just told us. Present that body to God, and God will take care of that body and make that body right. That is the way God constructed mankind. Now, the word constructed, meaning form, fashion. God constructed the spirit of the man. Let's talk about that first man, the spirit. He is the innermost part of your being. Oh, yes, he is. You see, the innermost part of the born-again believer is where the spirit, the real man, resides. He is the core of the believer. Amen. You know, like the core of an apple, That's the center of an apple. Well, the core of a man, a born-again believer, amen, that's the spirit of the man. That's the spirit of the believer, true identity. Let's look at that second part again. That old soul man, which we're not a soul man, we have a soul. The soul of the believer is the mind, the will, the emotions. Yes, 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 all that is true. But we can add the conscience, because your conscience is not in your spirit. And your conscience is not in your physical body. So through the process of elimination, your conscience is in your soul. And we have to be careful of our conscience. Why? Because your conscience can be a fleshly, sinful conscience. Or you can make the choice to be God conscious. Whatever you decide to choose to focus your conscience on, that's what you will get. Minister Smith, we need to go to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, verse 15. That's the book of Joshua, chapter number 24, verse 15.
All right. Joshua 24, verse 15. And it reads this way. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. See, that's their conscience. And we have to make a decision every day what we're going to be conscious of. Are we going to be conscious of our spirit man? Are we going to be conscious of our soulish man? Or are we going to be conscious of our bodies? We have to make that choice. My brothers and my sisters, just by you choosing to be conscious of this broadcast tonight, you have chosen to choose God and to be God conscious. And I'm here to tell you that you have made an excellent choice. Amen. The body of the believer. And we have to be careful about that body. Now, if you take your mind and your will and your emotions, if you take your mind, your will, and your emotions and your conscience, you know, put it together like a soup, put your mind in there, put your will in there, put your emotion in there, put your conscience in there. What you get is a personality. Amen. Now, if that mind and that will and that emotions and that conscience haven't been surrendered to God, that personality that you give will not be a godly personality. Let's look at part three again. The body of the believer is simple. It's simple. It's the part of you that you see when you look into the mirror. Amen. That's the body. The body really don't get in trouble. It's the mind that leads the body to do things. If we can get the mind to go to church and obey God, the body gonna follow. But as long as the mind is out there in the world and out there calling himself a soul man, amen, the body gonna go out there and be a soul man. But the body is the part that we look at. It's the part that we see when we look in the mirror. Okay. The way God formed and fashioned the believer is consistent. We got a consistent Heavenly Father. It's consistent throughout all eternity. Let us take a look at that first created man named Adam. Minister Smith, we need to go to Genesis chapter number 2, verse 7.
Genesis 2:7. And it reads this way. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being.
Praise God. Now let's focus on that phrase. God formed man from the dust of the earth. Now, because God was putting Adam into the earth realm to have authority, power, dominion, and rule over all creation. That's in the earth realm, the entire earth realm, the entire physical realm. Adam was in charge. God created Adam earth suit. When God got that dust and formed it, he formed the earth suit first. He formed the body. Because God was going to use Adam effectively as a leader in the kingdom of this created world. So the body was formed first, but look what happened next. Then the real man came through the phrase of breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the real man. The breath of life is Adam's spirit, the innermost part of Adam's being. Amen. And like we said, the core, you know, like the apple, the core of that apple is the strength. Amen. So the core of Adam came when God blew. The real man showed up. Now, the real man had some power. Look what happened. When he blew into Adam's earth suit through his nostrils, Adam's soul came alive. Amen. Adam's spirit brought life to his soul. Amen. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 63. Minister Smith, John chapter number 6, verse 63.
John 6, and we're going to jump down to 63, and it reads this way. It is the Spirit, and that's capital S-P-I-R-T, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Amen. See, that our spirit has some power. He said the spirit quickeneth. Amen. And that word quickeness means make alive. Oh, quicken it means make alive or give life to. And it's the spirit that gives life. And he said the flesh profiteth nothing. And what that flesh is, I'm a soul man. If we live it like that, there's no profit in that. Amen. Life comes out of the spirit, the core, the innermost part of our being. So Adam, living spirit, brought life to his soul. Now that's power. Amen. When God blew that spirit into Adam's core, his soul came alive. Amen. We have supernatural power in our spirit, man. Oh, yes, we do. Glory to God. Let us read Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 19 and 20. That's Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 19 and 20.
All right. Ephesians 1. And that we're going to start at 19.
Yes.
And read through verse 20. And it reads this way. And his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Verse 20, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm.
Amen. And the reason that came in, because we got great power in our spirits. Amen. And if you look in your soul, you'll never see it. And if you look at your body, you'll never see it. You have to be able to go into your spirit by way of the word of God. And you'll see that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in you. And that's a good scripture just to meditate on, because it will take you into your spirit till you see that God has placed that same spiritual, supernatural power on the inside of you. As you can spiritually see, Adam was a spirit, original creation. The same makeup that we're walking in, a spirit. He had a soul. He lived in a body. That body is the earth suit. Amen. So God is consistent in the makeup that he gets us to put on. Amen. And we have to put it on the right way. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. That's the original creation, as you see in scripture. The way God created the first man, hallelujah, and he's created all believers the same way. What a mighty God that we serve. But I got to tell you about Adam. I got to finish the story. Now, I must quickly add that Adam lost God's divine makeup. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. As a triune believer, Adam sinned and was disobedient to the will of God. We got to read Genesis chapter number 2, verse 16 and 17. Genesis chapter number 2, verses 16 and 17.
Genesis 2, 16 through 17. And it says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good. That's verse 18. So let me back up to 16, as you indicated. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are freely to eat from any tree in the garden, but you may not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Genesis 2:16.
Amen. I mean, that's a command. And he just didn't command, he gave the consequence. But let's look at Genesis 3:6 and find out what happened. I mean, that's a command. And then a consequence after the command. But let's go to Genesis 3:6 and see what went on down there.
Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat.
Amen. Now, in Genesis 2, a command went forth. And then there was a consequence if you don't obey this command. In Genesis 3, some disobedience happened because they did what they was told not to do. So let's go to Numbers chapter number 23, verse 19, and see what's going on here. Numbers chapter number 23, verse 19.
23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Amen. That's plain and clear. God is true to his word. My brother and sister, because God cannot lie. When Adam disobeyed God and sinned by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he died. Important note, very important note here. Adam. Death was not a physical death. Physically, Adam lived to be 930 years old. But Adam, catch this word, immediately died spiritually when he disobeyed God. Now, a spiritual death is more serious than a physical death. Because in a spiritual death, you are spiritually separated from God. And that's what happened to Adam. He became spiritually separated from God. Now, he became a soul man. That's what a soul man is. Somebody that's spiritually separated from God. And when one is spiritually separated from God, they so rise up and begin to dominate them. And that's what happened to Adam. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Minister Smith.
Romans 5 and 12. And it reads this way. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned.
Amen. Go on to Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. Romans chapter number 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Amen. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, because of Adam's separation from God, because of his sin, because of his disobedience, all mankind that was born into this world after Adam was born spiritually separated from God. In other words, we was born sinners. Amen. When we came out of our mother's womb and they put the pink on the girls and they put the blue on the boys, we was nothing but little tiny little sinners ready for the first time, first opportunity to go out there and sin. Amen. Let's see what King David has to say about this in Psalm chapter number 51, verse 5. Psalms chapter number 51.
Psalms 51, verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Amen. And we all, that can be all of our scriptures. Because of Adam, we was all born in sin. We was all shaped in iniquities. Our mother knew us in sin. We didn't stand a chance. But now let's go to the hope. That is the main reason. You know his name. Jesus Christ was born. Amen. He was born to spiritually unite mankind back to God our Father. God knew we was in trouble. Oh, he knew it. We didn't stand a chance. So he sent the best one he had. Born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. And they shall call his name Jesus. Let's read 1 John chapter number 2, verse 2.
1 John 2 and 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Now that's good news. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, verses 2 and 3.
The light appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal light, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came in obedience to the Father to open up the door, to become the way, to become the truth, to become the light, to take us back to the position that Adam took us out of. So that's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, verse 3 to 6. Let's read that. John chapter number 3, verse 3 to 6.
John 3:3-6, and it reads this way. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
Amen. My brothers, my sisters, family of the living God, the only way you can abide in God, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit and born of the water. The Spirit represents the great Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and the water represents the Word of God. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, your born again spirit communicates to God's Spirit. Your soul can't do it. Your soul can't communicate to God. Your body can't communicate to God. An unsaved spirit can't communicate to God. Only a born again spirit can communicate to God. This is the only way we communicate to him and we worship him. John chapter number 4, 21 and 24. John.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth."
Praise God. My brothers.
"For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen.
Amen. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, when you communicate and worship God through your spirit, it is likened unto your spiritual cell phone talking to God's spiritual cell phone. If you try to communicate and worship any other way than through your spirit man, it would be likened unto dialing the wrong phone number, and you will never be able to reach him. Trying to communicate, worship God any other way than through your spirit man is nothing but going through religious motions. I'm getting ready to close. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 5.
Second Timothy 3, verse 5. And I'm going to read this in a slightly different translation, which is the New Living Translation. And I love to have different translations in my library to get deeper meanings. And that's 2 Timothy 5.
2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. And it reads this way. In the New Living Translation, it reads this way. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that.
Amen. And notice, he said, when you are not operating out of the spirit, you just have religion, because there is no power. The power is in the spirit. And he says, stay away from people that are not operating out of the spirit. We're three-part beings, but only one can touch God, and that's the spirit man. And when the spirit man grab hold of God and begin to pull in the truth of God, the mind begin to catch up. That's what you call renewing the mind. The mind begin to see what the truth really is, that, hey, I'm no longer a soul. I'm not a soul man. Hey, I'm a spirit man. And that old body of ours, it just follow. It just follow what the mind do. It just follow. So my brothers and sisters, it said in the scripture, God is not in religion. Amen. He is in a personal relationship with you, and you in a personal relationship with him. My brothers, my sisters, family of God, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must, key word, must worship him in spirit and truth. And in my closing, my brothers, my sisters, family of God, praise the Lord. Because if you are born again, you have what it takes to praise our God. God has given you his divine makeup. You are a triune being, meaning you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a physical body, and we call it an earth suit. You can, I say it again, you can worship God in spirit, and you can worship him in truth. Amen and amen, amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This has been such a delight to really dig in deep concerning concerning the triune being of the believer and how God divinely make us up to see how the body was created with a spirit and how he fashioned us with a soul and how he painted on a beautiful body. And I just thank God, Brother Harold, for what he has done in and through you concerning this teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. I just know that this is the perfect time right now that we're going to take to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone, because it would not be right of us to assume that every listener to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus. So Brother Harold and I are going to stop, drop, and pray a prayer of salvation at this very moment, that someone would come to know him in the pardon of their sin. So, Brother Harold, if you could pray a prayer of salvation. Now, keep in mind that it's his words, but your heart. So, if you could, Brother Harold, pray a prayer of salvation that someone would surrender themselves to God, that they will be born again.
Amen. The Spirit is open, and the Spirit is tugging on hearts. And this is the hour, and this is the time. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And we know Holy Spirit is tugging on the heart. And I'm just going to read Romans 10, 9 and 10 real quick. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to lead you into a confession prayer. And all you have to do is repeat after me. Open your heart, and I'll give you time to repeat after me. Let us pray. Say, Father, I know I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me for sinning against you. I repent and turn my heart towards you. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart God raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I open up my heart. I receive you now. Father, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, brother and sister, for those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would seek out a Bible teaching church that you would be baptized by submersion, and that you would seek out a small group or a Sunday school class that you may be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace. And I just want to say welcome and thank you to the family of God, and that you would go forth and just praising him and honoring him and confessing to others that you are a Christ follower. So amen. And this brings us to the end of this particular broadcast with my special guest, Minister Harold Copeland, and how he has brought us this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. Brother Harold will be with us again, bringing us part two to this wonderful teaching series, God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. So I encourage you to continue and faithfully tune in to the broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, that you not miss a step concerning this series. And as we continue to dig in and move forward through the scriptures, that we will continue to grow and go ourselves. So thank you, Brother Harold, for such a beautiful work led by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to say thank you, thank you. So we will meet again for part two on Mission from the Heart Radio concerning God's Divine Makeup of the Believer. So always remember that the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the Word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you.